Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
At all, so sorry. This is actually about a second site that I put up for fun, which resulted in a lawsuit against me. And this is mostly a discussion, a narrative, a story about my personal experience about it, possibly with the idea of you guys getting some, I don't know, some advice. I do want to know, who here has been sued? Were you guys sued by a corporation or an individual? Corporation. And you into both. Traffic problem, huh? Okay. Well, anyway, so I do want to actually forward this with, since it's being recorded, with a disclaimer. I am not a lawyer. I once dated a legal secretary. The relationship didn't work out. So what you're hearing may or may not be real or not. I may have forgotten events. It was a very traumatic experience, so I may be, kind of glossing things over, and I don't want anyone to think that this is an exact photographic documentary of what happened. The site that this is about is still up and will eventually have all of the really funny legal stuff that happened with it. So, the site that I ran was called HarvardNetSucks.com. About a couple years ago, I was looking for a job while still having one, and I saw this place called HarvardNet, a headhunter found for me and said, hey, good company, good people, looks like it's going to go IPO, you might be able to make some bucks, exciting and everything else. So I said, that's great, got interviewed, got a job, Unix guy, and I went to go work there, and I was there for about a year. Ended up going back to my old place. During that year, it was just like any other place. It had its triumphs. It had its sadness. There was a guy I hated because he did this wrong, and there was this person who impressed me who had been there forever, and, the usual ups and downs of a company. This wasn't some little, short one-week thing that I was there. I was there for a year, and I made friends, and I made enemies, and it was a generally good life. Towards the end, things didn't things stopped being very enjoyable. So after a while, you start to get that great bunker mentality where it's just, yep, our company is doing it, so it must really be bad. And after a while, you've built up this negative thing, and you got to say to yourself, am I here just because I'm being paid, or do I want to go look somewhere else because I'm not going to do anything by anybody? So I finally said that I was leaving. There were tears all around and sadness and everyone else, and it was horrible. And so I left under a less than bright cloud. I actually left, are you just coming up to touch me? Oh, you want your hat back? I left under a less than beautiful white cloud. One of the reasons I left was because there was a guy I hated. And I forwarded a letter. This actually does have some relevance to the legal case. I was asked to impart information to his team, and the letter included in the letter his letter to my manager, in which he claimed that I had done nothing, that I was a complete incompetent, that I, you know, in other words, the letter I shouldn't have seen. I would have done the thing. So I started to write a letter back to my manager, in which I said, you know, that's just not true. I've been doing my best, and you know, and the company, when I think of the company, I get so angry because we could have done this, and we could, and so I'm basically doing the beginning of Jerry Maguire. I've got this whole thing where I'm just writing this paragraph after paragraph, and I'm like, you know, this isn't good enough for my manager. The whole company needs to share this experience. So I fire that bastard off, and I did this at home. I was working it. At that time, it was the last week. I was last 2 weeks I was working there, and so I was kind of coming in at 11 and leaving at 1. And I, so, you know, it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was like, you know, I had to go in and clean out my desk now, because I don't, if, you know, I can't imagine they'd be so unhappy as to get rid of me for a letter. But I you know, I don't want a situation where I go, I'm so sorry, and I'm leaving with all your crap hung around, you know, it's a horrible way to go. So I went in and quietly cleaned out my desk that night. Came in the next day, smiling at noon, and, you know, smiling, everything else. My, you know, my manager flunky guy comes and like, oh, we got to talk with you, man. And he's like, it's about the letter. I'm like, isn't it a great letter? It was a great letter, wasn't it? I was sure I was going to get in trouble for it. And he's like, well, you kind of did. We're not going to fire you. We're just going to ask you not to show up for your last week. So I said, okay. You know, they're getting paid for it. Called up my other company, said, I can start early. So I was getting 2 paychecks. And they actually said, you know, hey, you know, we'll pay you. You don't have to come in yet, but we'll officially start you now. So I was getting 2 paychecks while sitting at home. So that definitely took the edge off the experience. And, you know, I got to do the high fives on the way out and all the things anyway. So that was that. And I left that, and I was like, well, that wasn't great. That wasn't a great experience. My feelings on it were actually somewhat neutral. I had some anger, but I wasn't really crushed, as you might say. So I'd hang out with the old operation staff and the old engineering staff, and one by one they were leaving, and they're like, oh man, place sucks. And the guy who I didn't like, I did some research into, a group of us actually did a research into hiring one of those planes that has the banner that it drags behind it, so that one lunch hour it would just say, Andreas sucks on this banner going over the company, and then just make a few key phone calls in various departments, say, look out your window. We didn't go with that, and we all laughed about it. It's $1,500, and I can tell you the guy who does it, and he is a great guy. He's like the one guy who does those, and he said to me, why don't you find out where he lives so we can fly over his house after we're finished with his work? So I think he would definitely be open to anything that you guys might want to suggest. He's like, you know, I was like, do you have a problem with sucks flying over Boston? And he was like, we're the guys who flew condoms over Long Island. Anyway, so this group of friends of mine and I were all, you know, kind of bitter, having our little mailing list and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, I'm kind of a domain pig. I kind of like to buy domains just for fun. I had an inappropriatelydressed.com for a while and hallofmirrors.org. And, you know, it's open, let's register it, what the hell, let's have fun. And I checked, and HarvardNetSucks.com was open. And to give you an idea of how completely non-anything I was with this, I didn't even buy it then. I kind of said, hey guys, it's open, wouldn't it be funny? Didn't do anything with it. A couple weeks later, people were like, you know, it'd be kind of funny if you got it. And I go, like, yeah, if you all put money in for it, I'll host it, I'll give you mail forwarding. You can be the CEO at HarvardNetSucks. And they each did that. They each gave me like $10 or something, and I went off and registered HarvardNetSucks, set up a mail forwarder. Ooh, I'm a protester. I kind of left it like that for a while, you know, about a month. I was like, well, that was fun. And I thought, you know, I'd hear things going on at the company. I'd be like, that kind of sucks there still, and they're still doing this. And wouldn't it be kind of fun to put up a site? I'd already registered HarvardNetSucks under the company's own address and name. So there was already some sort of a, you know, you have this initial defense thing. I do want to mention that to people. When you make an action like that, when you do things like you register with something or you do something, I mean, obviously, this sounds blatantly obvious, but you would be surprised about, if you're going to register a domain that makes horrendous fun of someone, don't give them your home name and address. don't do that. So I had it under their name. The billing department was incorrect billing at their place, and it was a little protest all there. I also registered not with Network Solutions. I registered with EasyDNS up in Toronto, and I'll explain why I like them so much. They're a very fun little place up there. They're related with Two Cows, and they let you administer your DNS remotely, and they run it, and they have their own, anyway, if you like that kind of thing. So I registered with this, and then I put up a site. And it was kind of a... Everything I did on it was in the we form. You know, we here at HarvardNet sucks, or our staff. Or, you know, in other words, you're using that classic terrorist or guerrilla technique where you're a guy named we believe this shall be done. Our spies are everywhere. Now, technically, I did have spies everywhere because, you know, like people would call. But the site was a little harsh, unpleasant. You'll see me refer to my notes occasionally because I just want to make sure I'm mentioning everything. I kind of made fun of the people who had been problems, and I hinted that there were things were not quite right there, and I got a really nice coup the second day. I got a letter from the founder of HarvardNet, who had been driven out a number of years earlier, in which he apologized to everyone currently at HarvardNet at how much the company now sucked. I think that's what initially got their attention. Because remember, this was a pre-IPO company, so, you know, very unpleasant. And I got the other founder of HarvardNet, who mailed in the next day going, hey, he mailed in. Yeah, I too agree. It really bites there. If I could, I would just wipe out who's there and just, you know, put in a totally new team. We'd get it right, and I'm sorry, and everything else. I was getting an awful lot of hits from HarvardNet. You know, I run a logs and Webalizer. You know of Webalizer, right? Everyone here, by the way, and this is vital, does everyone here know what a firewall is? Okay, good. I don't want to lose you. I got a lot of hits from some site. And I want to be a bastard and say the name again, but I forgot it. But it was something, you know, wallkeeper, blah, something, .harvard.net. Hundreds of hits from that. Nothing else at HarvardNet. On Wednesday, I get a call from someone who's like, hey, man, your site went down. It's someone browsing from within. And my site's not down. And the hits from this machine have stopped. And I'm like, oh... So I put up a little thing, but it looks like they're blocking me at the firewall. What are you afraid of? By Thursday, I'm pretty damn cocky. I'm getting... I'd also taken out HarvardNetSucks@hotmail.com for the email. Another blind. So I was getting quite a bit of hate. Not at me, of course. But a lot of hate at people, you know, like, you're right. I'm glad someone stood up and spoke for us. Because, you know, in every company like this, people come and go. And they just take their little pain and move on. And that's the end of it. And now these people are like, hey, someone's getting pissed, ma. And they were starting to look at me as some sort of an interesting figure. Someone they could go, you, my handle was brokenpromises@harvardnetsucks.com. My little site, I find out that the CEO is on a rampage. Who the hell is this guy? Doesn't know who it is. Just going nuts. He's accusing his head of engineering of like, you must be it. You're him. Who is Bro? Could you imagine this just a big fat guy running down like, who is Broken Promises? I will destroy. So on Friday, I ended up calling him. We're talking 5 days. Friday, I call him up. He never answers his phone, you know. So I left a message. Hey, Mark, next time, pick up your phone. So as you can see, I was flying high. And he picked up the phone next call. And he was like, Jason, you have to speak to my lawyer. Click. I was like, most people, when they're used to what they think of now as the current process of law, the law is, you put up heinous thing that's really bad. company that you did this to sends thing that says, please stop it, we're really angry. You either choose to put up the letter and go, fuck them, or you take it down, running like a little baby. But that's not how it was. I was invited to a nice party of some of the ex-Arbornet employees, and next, you know, I'm already making connections, I'm making friends now. Next Tuesday, hey, come on down, we'll have some food, it'll be great, you'll love it. So I'm there. While I'm there, I get a call from my girlfriend, who is not in the best emotional shape, letting me know that a man has come to the house with a pack of papers from a law firm and made her sign it and gone away. And by the way, there are guys whose job is to deliver that stuff who aren't really affiliated with anything, just like guys willing to get screamed at in the face for however many bucks. But they are neither aware of your case, cognizant of you, or anything else. They don't even care. I mean, you know, I'm the guy mentioned on it. The girlfriend signed for it. Good enough for Bobo. He was gone. And we're at the thing. We're at the party. You know, she's not going to open it. She wants me to read it. And we're all like, ha ha, cease and desist. Got the fuckers running. So I get home, and that's not exactly the case. That's not exactly the case. The exact letter that was waiting for me. You are hereby summoned and required to serve a plaintiff's attorney in answer to a complaint, which is herewith served upon you within 20 days. If you fail to do so, judgment by default will be taken against you. And I'm looking at it like, that doesn't sound like a cease and desist letter. We also notify you that application has been made in said action, as appears in complaint, for a preliminary injunction. They got what's called an ex parte restraining order against me. In the meantime, until such hearing, we command you, said Jason Scott, and your agents, attorneys, and counselors, and each and every one of them, to desist and refrain from using or making any further disclosures of any HarvardNet proprietary information in a form substantially similar to the order attached as Exhibit 1. Ugh. Now, the Exhibit 1 was an actual court-ordered restraining order. It's what's called an ex parte restraining order, which I did not understand at the time. I'll jump out of sequence. My lawyer explained to me what this is. Basically, usually what happens is, guy beats the shit out of his wife. Then, his wife says, I would not like him to be near me anymore, for he beats the shit out of me. She goes to the court with her lawyer, who says, we would like the court to ask this man not to beat the shit out of her. The man says, what does he have to say about this? Let's bring him in and have a chat. So he sends a notice to wife beater and says, please come to the courthouse in a week where we will see if you should have a restraining order. But knowing you, you are at the bar drinking Jägermeister and you will not show up and it will be given to you in your absence. That's usually how restraining orders work. There's a notification to the two parties who are like, we'd like to do a restraining order party. Come on down. And they go down and they argue, or one of them just says, bite me, have your fun with your lawyers, and it's given. An ex parte restraining order is, the guy beats up the girl really well, and she shows up in such a horrifying state that her lawyer says, we can't wait the week for her to sit around waiting for, you know, Jaws 3 to come back from wherever the hell he is and kill her. So they say, fine, the restraining order is now down now, and in a week he gets to fight it. Very special case. They got it! For me! For what? That's the question. Of all the horrifying things I had said that week, what thing was it that was so horrible? What had I done? What were they going to sue me for? How much? And when I started to read through the actual lawsuit, I started to, you know, the actual thing, which I started to read and sweat a little more and more. They were suing me for $120,000. They were suing me for violating my employee non-disclosure agreement and printing information of a proprietary nature such that could bring down HarvardNet's network, expose their company secrets, trade information, financial information to the internet at large, make them a guided target for hackers, in quotes, and generally destroy them. It took quite a while to figure out what the fuck they were talking about. I'm a newsletter, for God's sake. Well, it turned out I had published the firewall name. And their indication was, by printing the firewall name, I had breached the security of HarvardNet and revealed to everyone how to get in. Now you sit there and you chortle with your little fucking giggles. Dude, doesn't he understand? It's a firewall! No, he does not understand. He doesn't understand at all. He's near retirement in my case. He doesn't give a shit about this computer crap. He's got a nephew, probably, who tells him that computers are fun. The initial response is, I can beat this rap in no time. The hard part is, how do you tell a 64-year-old judge that a firewall host name is perfectly okay to know about because it's not going to breach the security? And then you go into, what, network maps? Here's my problem. So now I'm in a panic. I'm in an absolute panic. I don't have a lawyer. That was probably the roughest night I've had in recent memory that didn't include kidney stones. I was just wrecked. I mean, you know, $120,000 was way more than they had paid me even in a year. The number, by the way, in case you're wondering where does the $120,000, it cost them $60,000 to set up the firewall and purchase the software and the hardware, and they were doubling it. The theory being that by publishing the host name, the firewall turned into a Sega Genesis, and that was the end of that. Sonic going, come on in, we're open. So that was, I guess, the theoretical concept. So I had to find a lawyer. Now, I'm going to say something which takes a little bit of the edge off my experience, or you might think so. I had an individual, who I will not name, who mailed me and said, and this is like having a close to a religious experience as one can have, I suppose. I hate HarvardNet so much, I will pay all your legal fees until you are exonerated. Yeah, that was, he's a very pleasant fellow. That took a little bit of the edge off, obviously. So, you know, I could fight this. Now, most people would go, ah, and, you know, now what do you do? And I don't know, there aren't as many, well, there's a good number of youth here. It's a little bit different when you're young and you're middle-aged and you're old, and it all depends on your perspective on things. What a company suing you for, the experience of having a company say, we'd like to take a damn good shot at grabbing a house out of you. You know, some, when you're young, fuck all! Dad'll cover it. Dad, I got so much shit! Look what I did! You know, and so on. And the older ones are like, I must settle immediately. And, you know, and other people are like, you know, I'm going to eat a Remington right now. So you have different opinions. Mine was, I must fight this. I am right. I'm completely right. A week had gone by. The hearing was in a week after that. Now, normally in the hearing, we might go, fine, you're right, whatever, we're not going to fight this. Not put up the firewall host name information. And, you know, go for the trial. But we didn't want to do that. I was given a lawyer. She's a very nice lady. Her name is Lucy Lovrian, and I will plug her because she was very good for my purposes. And she, you know, she was very communicative. She was friendly. She thought about the stuff. She wanted to learn. She knew nothing about networks, period. And initially, you'd think, you know, that's really bad. But actually, it's one thing when you have, like, slick hacker lawyer, a horrifying mutant I will hope I never meet. The hacker lawyer! We have no vaccine. But, you know, you'd have a slick back, you know, yeah, you're judge, look on, I mean, look at this, it's a firewall host name, who gives a shit? You know, she was like, what is this thing? Tell me what it is. What is it like? What is it for? How does it work? Where are the problems? And I have to sit there and I have to enunciate out my entire defense instead of just going for shorthand, going, you know, whatever. So I met with her and she immediately said, we have to get affidavits. We have to find people who will say that this is not a big deal. We have to get people to show that you couldn't have known this information. We'll show things where you will, you know, you'll say yourself how innocent you are and everything else, and we will present all these on that day in a week where we will make this happen. Now, my lawyers was one, you know, my lawyer was a lawyer. Their lawyer was Hale and Dorr. Does anyone know Hale and Dorr? No. One day you will. Hale and Dorr are... No, they're not the McDonald's of law, because that would probably be that Jacoby and Myers thing. They're not the McDonald's of law. They're like the... But like the old style... No, they're the Microsoft of law. They really are. I hate that. What a shorthand. But they are. They have... they were Nixon's lawyers. No, 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 it's okay, he's erasing everything. Those guys. They're fucking huge. They have hundreds of lawyers. They have powerful lawyers. They are a bunch of rabid fucking wolf bastards who will eat each other alive to get to the top, meaning that the person that you are going up against, in my case, they tried to get a top guy, is some tarnished, modeled, angry sword of a man who is just going to destroy you. I love them. I must repeat my disclaimer now. Anyway, so basically, the Hale and Dorr people said several things in their letter. Now, if I'm worried about my heart rate, you know, if I need my exercise back up, I just go back and read anything they wrote. You know, Mr. Scott was privy to every machine name, password, application, network. I was a Unix guy. And their thing indicates that I was the Uberman who ran everything, who quietly went away and began his terror campaign to destroy them from within. This was just simply not the case. For instance, the host name of the firewall had not been set till a month and a half after I'd left. Little things like that that just didn't quite work out that we had to put into the affidavit. We got a firewall guy to go, you know, it takes, 20 minutes, let's say an hour, to set the new IP address for the firewall. And it will cost, if I charge $300 an hour, so it's not a $60,000 process. And so on, all these things. And my boss, and this is something, my old boss, who was not privy to my being dismissed, by the way, the manager over my boss dismissed me. He wasn't even in the office that day. He came in to find out he was down a guy. That's how connected he felt by the end. He submitted an affidavit. Now, he is working for the company. And he submitted an affidavit going, the company is lying to you. The company is not telling the truth. They are attempting to screw him. It is not true. He wasn't really feeling all that secure anyway. But the thing about that little action, though, was the next day... Well, okay, let's say, at the hearing, when the hearing finally showed up, I didn't actually testify. When you're at a hearing like this, your lawyer generally does all the talking for you. I didn't even sit inside that stupid little fence. I actually sat out in the audience. A little sad look in my face and a big suit and just, they made me wear a suit. And you had this guy, Daniel W. Halston, the Esquire, who was their guy, with his little toady, Jeffrey, because, you know, one of the things they do is they have primo lawyer and they have, you know, lawyer, you know, the little dog in the hack, basically, who kind of follows him and could be there if there's a problem. It cost them, I think we estimate it cost them $45,000 to have these two guys in the courtroom for 4 hours, including waiting time, and set things up. Enormous amount of money on their case. To do this, to get me. Things came out. My ISP called me and, hey, I heard you're having some legal trouble. Turned out they had called him the day before they filed the lawsuit to tell him to shut my machine off. trading in on the fact the CEO had worked with the guy, had been an old business partner with him, and said, "Hey, my old buddy, look, can you just kind of shut this machine off that's in your machine room?" Which, by the way, is unbelievably illegal in Massachusetts. It's called, like, restriction of someone's trade or something. It's actually a, you know, if you're in a case like this, like, have your lawyer look at everything that they did, because that just came out of nowhere. That was going to be one of our things. Well, the guy remembered that, hey, he'd done business with this guy. He didn't remember he'd really fucked him over. He'd forgotten. "Oh, my old buddy. Yeah, the one who desperately needed bandwidth at one point, and I wouldn't even return his phone calls." And he went off and got his business up running anyway. So, you know, basically, that came out that they were doing that. I called up my EasyDNS people because one of the things they said that I owned HarvardNetSucks.com, HarvardNetSucks.org, and HarvardNetSucks.net. Other people owned it. They had gone, "Hey, it looks like a lot of fun to do." You know, they put up like a big picture of a pile of garbage and said, "Look at their machine room," and so on. And EasyDNS said, "You know, some guys called up wondering about your address." I was like, "Really? What'd you tell them?" He goes, "Well, we told them to fuck off." And I said, "Hey, could you put that in a letter for me?" And he went, "No, fuck you. You go through your stupid American shit. We don't care whatsoever. You show up in Canada with something, we'll talk to you." He's like, "We're not talking to nobody, nothing, nowhere about anything." I like that attitude. So EasyDNS.com, very nice guys. I started to notice that I was getting a lot of hits to my site. One important thing was I did not shut down my site. I did not stop printing information. I did not start putting things up. That was the important thing, because what they wanted to do was they wanted to shut off my dumb little site while they tried to go for the little IPO. And I was just not going to have that. I started to put up really funny pictures. I found anytime someone said anything bad about them and put it up, I was a muckraker. And a muckraker can be a really fun thing. It's the thing that most companies are really scared of, because muckrakers find all the... Most companies... Oh, I'll get in trouble for this. One or two companies always have skeletons in their closet, because it is almost impossible to do business in America without doing something illegal. There is always something where you're supposed to sign this, do this, you were supposed to talk to this guy, you were supposed to open this up to the public, you were supposed to do this, and you didn't because you had to get it in, and Murphy got his $15,000 bonus, and he, oh, screw it. Who's going to give a shit? That was 2 years ago, it was a network connection, who gives a shit? Well, I give a shit now. I'm going to go find out. I'm going to print it. That probably didn't actually enthuse them all that much. I found out, looking at my logs, I started to take a real interest in my logs, that there were a lot of connections from a machine that came in twice a day whose browser was listed as Mozilla Palindor. Fuckers had put it in their browser tag. They must have had like some... From my point of view, I think they must have had some sort of customized browser they paid for that was especially the Palindor browser with a little, like, you know, sue the fuck button or something. I don't know. So, you know, big judgment hammer or something. Sue the bastard. And they, you know, basically, I noticed this. And now, they've submitted a second order. Believe it or not, they submitted a second order. I'm still not even off that first week, although it is a pretty tough week. Just before, they submitted a second order. Because I put up a thing going, "We are being sued! Everything must go!" And I put the domain name up on eBay. With a $300,000, you know, secret minimum thing. So it was like, it was a joke, but it was just to prove a point. Ha ha! And hey, $300,000, I could do something with that. Pay those bastards off, go home. Anyway, they submitted a thing going, according to Mr., you know, because I said, you know, I wrote in a style which you might find surprising to be funny, you know, all of our assets is pretty much our domain name and a few JPEGs, you know, so we've got to make money for these bastards who are suing us. And they submitted that in a court order and said, "As is proven here, Mr. Scott has no known assets. Therefore, we need we will not allow him to sell off this asset of his domain name because we expect to receive it in a judgment." That's when I knew I had to make them stop browsing my site. So, you know, there's this great thing in I started doing a lot of research. I knew this had to be possible in Apache. You can do things based on what comes to you. In other words, like you can go, how do I say it? You know, like this IP address is coming in, so give him this kind of page. Or if someone connects with this referrer, send them to this page, and so on and so on. If anyone from Hale and Dorr browsed in, I'd send them to the ACLU. they come in, ACLU page. The hit stopped after a while. They kind of come back like once a month or something just to check. That's how I knew when the checks had stopped coming to them, because I could see when they stopped even trying. But that kind of stopped them for a while, and I was all Mr. Proud of myself. Their humorlessness is unbelievable. But you know, that's the thing you have to realize, is that the minutiae of hackerdom is very actually similar to the minutiae of lawyerdom. And lawyers have these funny little things they do. For instance, my lawyer would give the other guys my entire defense an hour and a half before the court case. This was something that was done. And they did the same. They're like, here's your defense. You got an hour and a half to do it. And the thing I will credit Mr. Halstead, the model sword guy, is he would produce out of his flaming ass the most amazing things. Up on the stand, he would just go, based on what I just read. For instance, we had said, just as a small example, I don't want to get too much into the minutiae of that, because it's just typical, mine's bigger. And one of the things that we said was, the non-disclosure agreement doesn't cover the firewall host name because it's public information. And they said, Mr. Scott does not dispute the legality and validity of our non-disclosure agreement. Well, yes, technically that's true. Your non-relevant document is probably really sound. But that's what, and what do? You want to scream that from the back, and you can't. So we had our hearing. And at our hearing, we presented our affidavits, and this guy stood up and just tried to slam us and said, Your Honor, this thing. And this guy, the judge, Judge Julian, was just so, he was an older gentleman. He was nearing retirement. This was the last thing he wanted on his plate. But I got to hear a beautiful old baritone go, so tell me more about this. HarvardNet sucks. What sort of site is this? And he actually even got a little, ringer off at one point. My lawyer was like, this is a total, this is a total prior restraint of his First Amendment. And he's like, I'm well aware of First Amendment defenses. Anyway, I'm well aware of the First Amendment. In the case, he took all of our stuff, and it's not like TV. They don't just go, thanks, Matlock. Here is my slam. Credits. No, it's not like that. They said, we'll take this under consideration. You'll get the decision in the mail. At which point, it will happen at some point. So I was in a twilight zone for about a month. The next day, fucked company! Took a very big interest in this, because my boss, my ex-boss, had done this, and Pud thought this was the greatest thing in the world. Is everyone here aware of fuckedcompany.com? Well, that explains the 15,000 different sites that came to me the next day. Now everyone knew that HarvardNet sucks. Everybody was in on this. Now, I was getting contacts from the Boston Herald wanted to talk to me. I got other people who wanted to, go, hey, and I can't believe this. I haven't worked at that company a year. They're still fuckers. Holy shit, I hate them, and so on. I became this broken promises, and I had set it up so that all mail addresses came to me. So, of course, every time I published a story, I'd give a different email address. The correction site was youfuckedup@HarvardNetSucks, and, I'd go, hey, write to me if you know of the good lawyers, and I would say lies at HarvardNet sucks, and I was a very funny little revolutionary. So for that 3 weeks, I was kind of publishing things kind of in this just basically floating, waiting for the decision. Will I get the decision? Will they deny it? Now keep in mind, this is not the trial. This is just my response to them trying to get a temporary restraining order against me for publishing the host name before they sue me for $120,000. So we're already $9,000 in the hole, just doing that, just saying, No! Cha-ching. That's why when someone goes, I'm going to sue your ass, he better be a lawyer or sleeping with one, because it's going to cost him a lot of money. Now, there are a breed of lawyers who will make a deal, a very interesting deal. I will do your case for free and take half of what you win. Get away from those guys. They're like the thing that comes at the end of a video game level to make you stop playing that level because you've been playing it for too long. They're not going to give up because they're going to come up with everything. But most times when you go to a lawyer will go, I don't even think you should be taking this case on. You're just suing the guy because you hate him. Well, our guy, Harvard Net, was funded by Fidelity Investments. And Fidelity Investments doesn't care about money. I mean, other than it's coming in a lot, you know. But they weren't really all hurt by, you know, 45 grand, whatever, you know. It's just retainer. It's like, go ahead, whatever you got to do, make it happen. I don't care. So there was a lot of money behind it. However, they were a little bit displeased that this Harvard Net Suck site was starting to get some publicity, even though it was web publicity, which they don't really acknowledge. But then the interview started. I got into an interview with Tom Kirchhofer at the Boston Herald. I actually had my lawyer in the office. I was submitting stories, but each time I submitted a story, I submitted it to my lawyer. My lawyer would look at it and go, yeah, you probably won't get sued. Sorry, it doesn't look all that actionable. And then off it would go. So I'm funny, you know, after it goes through my team of lawyer. And she also became our legal staff, by the way, so got to keep that up. And so, you know, those 3 weeks were pretty unpleasant. I mean, it's nice that I'm being covered and all that stuff, but I mean, it's a very unpleasant experience when you just know there's this thing hanging over your head. And I do want to say, if you ever do get into one of these things, they are long, drawn-out, stupid-ass things that last for like an hour and a half every 6 months and can go on for years and years and years, unless somebody pulls an amazing amount of strings, at which point you've probably got other problems anyway. They're probably going to come to you. If they're pulling strings that fast, they probably want to talk to you, and you're going to talk to them. So you can't let yourself just put your life into a parking brake and just hope and go, oh, life is horrible, because you just, it's, they're winning. They're killing you. They're actually killing you. One piece of advice I have, just don't do that. Don't fall into that trap of letting them crush you like that. The actual hearing that I'm talking about. Completely lost my train of thought. Basically, 3 weeks later, he came back with a response. The judge, in which he said, they are completely denied. Basically, he looked at all the stuff we'd written. He said, you're right. This host name stuff is bullshit. You shouldn't have a restraining order against you. So I'd won. And everyone who looked at it, right, they were like, you won. I'm like, yes. In the process of falling off a cliff, I was able to pull up my pants so I had some dignity. I put up the host name, like, I did not put up the host name actually the next day. I said, you know, we could put up their stupid ass host name, but it's lame and it's stupid, so we're not going to do that. It actually had, I remember this now, it had the brand name of the firewall product as the host name. That's right, assholes. Anyway, you kind of blocked those little dumb details out. One other thing, they fired my ex-boss 2 days later. So, basically they brought him into a little room and said, what did you do? As I understood it, yeah, at this point now, I am the lightning rod for all hate of Harvard Net that has ever been. I am getting phone calls and emails from people just going, here's what they're doing today. Here's what they're up to. Here's what they said. This letter went by. I couldn't print half the stuff. And I'm not going to say it here because it may or may not be true, but horrible things were implied and horrible things happened and laws were broken and yada, yada, yada. I was getting a lot of info. I was the gossip man. But I just couldn't print some of it because it was just impossible. I also did not have a message base. That's also a mistake to me. A message base is just an invitation for everybody else to go to the windows of your house and moon everybody that goes by. You know, they know where you are. You know, they don't know where Dark Ninja is. or CEO sucks cock. You know, they don't know where he is. Which is why, in a way, I was kind of delighted about Fucked Company. Because Fucked Company had just put in a new feature where you could post messages. And they had got an average of 100 to 200 messages per fuck, as he puts it. 15 to 30, whatever. We got 3,000. It was enough where Pud came in at like 2,000 and went, holy shit, this thing's flying! And there was so much vitriol. There was so much, just, you know, people were like, hey, you know, we didn't get our bonus checks this year, so better go to the CEO's house at this, you know, address, ask for your checks, and call ahead! Here's his home phone number and his cell phone. And I'm like, I never posted on that board, ever. Ever. I thought it was just too much danger for me to do. But I took great delight in sometimes taking some of the classics and putting them up on my site. So I was kind of using it as a filter going, look what that guy's doing over there. But, you know, I mean, Pud to me is just on the edge. The man is going to get whacked. It's just a matter of when. Not whack, bang, but, you know, whack. Letters. Letters from, I'm sure he does already. But they're usually cease and desist letters, which by now hackers and web people are becoming so inured to, because they're just this pathetic little whatever. By the way, if somebody emails you a cease and desist, fuck them! Okay, so that's not, it's nothing real. I mean, it's really funny, when you talk to a lawyer and you start presenting them the things that you know, they will, like, look at stuff that you were like, man, I'm really, you're like, where's the notary? Where's the signature? Did you have to sign for your email? No? Fuck them! You got a random email from God knows who about God knows what, delete it. So, you know, that it, a lawyer who's on your side can give you a very good perspective. One other important thing, the lawyer on the other side, under no circumstances, in any situation, is your friend. And people forget that. That the guy really, really, really wants to win his case. Under any circumstance whatsoever. Prosecutor, public defenders are a whole other deal. That's a whole other weird, wacky thing. You're 12, you knocked over a headstone, you're whatever. The guy might go, look, we'll, whatever, we'll negotiate it down. But lawyer, hired by big company, under no circumstance wants the other guy to feel good about anything. They wanted me, when they saw this $120,000 number, to come crying into their little area, and they go, you've been a bad little man. Together, I think we can work something out. And make me sign everything. Sign away the life of myself and everyone around me. You know, because that's what the CEO wanted. Now, when it was denied, now I'm still now technically sued. I'm just loose, free. And that's when my friends started trying to get different newspapers to interview me. The Boston Herald interviewed me, like I said, with my lawyer right next to me. And, you know, I'd be like, blah, 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 that they suck. And she's like, shh, don't say that. It's really weird. It's like having the angriest angel on your shoulder. No, no, no! You know, she's trying to do right by me. But you gotta kind of, you know, you gotta kind of dig it, or they're just gonna go, oh, look, it's another bland, lawyer-filtered press conference. So it was this weird balance I had to stick in my own mind. The first article was finally published. Where was it? Yeah, there we go. All right, in the book, Harvard Net sues site owner, with a quote from my lawyer, which was kind of freaky, wasn't it? You know, it's like, here's a guy who's being sued. Here's what his lawyer has to say. I always think that's kind of wacky. One aspect of this that did come out, by the way, was that I started becoming a source. They went, he knows a lot about Harvard Net. They all started calling me up and going, hey, what's going on over there? I wouldn't know. Oh, it's horrible. Things are rotten. Fire. They, and, you know, they go, sources said fire. I was going to get this big shirt that sources said I am the source. Then the real killer came in. That's when, by the way, I found out nobody reads the goddamn Boston Herald. I really thought that wasn't the case. But nobody reads the Boston Herald. No reaction. Nothing. Nobody gave a damn shit about the Boston Herald. I was like, ooh, I'm in the paper. But no, nobody called and went, oh my God, now you hit the big time. You're in the Boston Herald. So we were really trying for the Globe, who's like, if you're not aware of Boston newspaper setup, you know, like every other place, there's the Boston Globe, which is now owned by the New York Times, Boston Herald, which is the, yeah, Southy kind of place. And then there's everybody else, including, like, and every other one else has to give themselves away for free and stick themselves in doorways so you'll trip over them and maybe read the headline or something. So it's basically Globe. The Globe was hosted at HarvardNet. I'm not giving away any secret because they've made a deal with Harvard. HarvardNet lost money on the Globe because the Globe, they put ads for themselves. They got to put free ads on the web pages that were being served by this newspaper. Never on a story. It was a weird rule, but when they showed a story, you didn't see it. But, like, you know, here's the stories that are up here. We're hosted by HarvardNet. You know, so that was, we were like, we really want to get in that paper. And we did. I got a call from a guy named Alex Beam, who was a columnist. And Alex Beam called me up, and I was in San Francisco on a business trip. And we get the call, like, hey, he wants to talk to you. So I'm talking to the guy on a cell phone in the hallway during a training session with my lawyer on the line on a three-way call, who was like, wait, he said. And he was, I'm wrong. That's the one where I talked to him first, then talked to her. So what did you say when they said this? I said it was something like, what exactly did you say? Jason, you're going to destroy everything. I didn't go into that training session and learn very much that day. But let me tell you, Alex Beam printed the nastiest fucking column. It was called Stuck in the Web of Bad Publicity. And it was up on like the fourth, fifth page. And it was like, how could, you know, like, how could HarvardNet be so goddamn stupid as to sue a guy for nothing because they think they want to shut him up? Haven't they heard of the First Amendment? Congratulations, you've turned Jason Scott into a First Amendment martyr. You know, what kind of place is this? And it was, of course, hosted by HarvardNet. Woo! The next day, they dropped the case. Next day, we get a letter. And the letter, by the way, the lawyers gave up nothing. They gave it, this is the entire letter I got. Whereas the defendant is no longer posting any firewall information on his website, HarvardNet Incorporated hereby voluntarily dismisses the above captioned action without prejudice pursuant to this law. What they said was, they dismissed it without prejudice. What the fuck is that? I found out that without prejudice means we're just dropping it because we feel like it. We're not admitting we were wrong. We're not admitting we were right. We were doing it, you know, we were dating and now we're not. What it means is that they are allowed to start it up on a moment's notice, anytime they want to. There's this thing hanging over your head. They weren't going to, as it turns out, but they did this to, you know, this is Hale and Dorr going, no, don't just give up. Give up kicking their ass all the way out the door. So that's what the kind of places they work at. So they dropped the case immediately. Now, the Boston Globe, the way I found out that people read the Boston Globe was I got a call from my dad. I hadn't told my parents about this shit. I got two letters. My parents are divorced. One from my mother, one from my father. My father said, hey, someone wrote to me and said you were in the Boston Globe for something. He said you were a chip off the old block. What's up with that? Oops. And my mother said, I heard you were sued or something, but that you're a First Amendment martyr, so I guess that's okay. Complete different thing. So then I finally, it's nicer to be able to tell your parents about the lawsuit that just happened as opposed to the one that's about to happen. So that was nice. Now, they dropped it. Now we're out, by that time I think we're out $19,000, for this action, all these sets of actions. So, you know, people were like, yeah, dude, you won and everything. It's like, I didn't really win. I bought a suburban minivan and drove it off a cliff. You know, I mean, it was hardly a great wondrous thing. A month later, 2 days later, they allow access to my site again. They opened it up, the firewall, because they had never changed the host name since this happened. They opened it up. The next day, they also, I used a thing called domain surfer, type in a word and see every domain with that word. I happened to type in HarvardNet. They had registered 36 anti-HarvardNet names. HNet is a joke. HNet sucks. HNet blows. HNet whatever. Like, they had registered, you know, com.net.org of everything. They spent like $3,000-$4,000 registering every anti-HarvardNet name they could come up with. That was kind of odd. And let's see. 2 weeks later, they laid off 200 people, which we all knew was going to happen. They were a DSL company. And they did it laying everyone off going, you know, everything's going to, you know, the DSL company has gone downhill as opposed to everything sucks. What's up, man? Got to wrap it up? Okay. When I came away from this thing was bitter. I came away from this not really enjoying the entire experience. But one thing I did learn was every action you do, there is a certain group of people out there who have no humor, who are paid to make you unhappy, who will do anything a large corporation tells them to. So when you do an action, you're not just, what's the word, you're not just working in a vacuum and isn't it funny. And the other thing is, you gotta lose the myopia. You gotta go, they're gonna know, I'm just sending a few pings out through UDP, who gives a shit? They're gonna go, what are you talking about? Why are you not in jail now? And the thing that really most bothered me was, a couple people I'd say, yeah, I ran HarvardNetSucks.com, and they go, and I go, I got sued. And people go, yeah, of course. You know? And on a certain level, it's like, you know, that people just go, well, of course you said they suck, so of course they should sue you. You know, and that kind of opinion was something I had to heavily, heavily fight against. And one last thing I did want to mention, because I didn't mention it during the thing, my entire court case, as a result of its technical aspects, was fought as a metaphor. And that is the most frustrating aspect of my entire case. I had to sit as two lawyers, my lawyer and their lawyer, talked in metaphors. They never said the firewall. The firewall is like putting the home address of HarvardNet up on a billboard for everyone to see as they drive by. And my lawyer had to respond with her metaphor. And then they would immediately respond in highly technical fashions to the metaphor. You know, well, bulletin boards, by their very nature, are set as advertising. No! What we said was, this was our defense, in case you need it. The firewall, publishing the host name of a firewall is like telling people where Fort Knox is. They'd rather you not know, but you're not going to get the gold bars based on that. So just, you know, this was us sweating for hours trying to come up with, how do you say it like that? And, you know, the courts are nowhere near where we are in terms of, like, technical knowledge, which in fact is a good thing. Because if you ever, one of the things you do when you're sitting in the court case is you get to sit through a highly technical plumbing case. I don't give a shit about plumbing or contracting. That was one. There was one that was like the fifth year of an accident. This woman had been in, her husband hadn't even shown up to this one. He'd broken a leg 5 years ago. They were trying to get $4,000. They were settling for one. After 5 years, and of that, they had $12,000 that was coming to them, of which $11,000 was going to legal fees. You know, so this kind of crap is happening to everyone, not just us. Anyway, so there's my entire legal narrative. Don't go to court with it. Just think about it. Anyway, there you go.
Nothing.